The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
7 Knife and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 Knife and Hallis.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chicago Bears fans, we are back here live for 7 Knife and Hallis. This is episode 210. It's your boy Scott. I am here back in Chicago. Here with the homie J.R. Bain once again, because my brother, even though he is off the barber's chair of safety and protocols, right, he was at the game with me. I literally just got back from Soldier Field like minutes ago. So he was at the game. Post-game video will be coming soon, either today or tomorrow. I'll be on the Patreon for our Patreon subscribers. You can go on the Twitter right now. We've got comments from Floos and Justin from the post game, and I've also uploaded a couple videos from the locker room. Chase Claypool, Eddie Jackson was pretty pissed. Darnell Mooney talked, Cairo Santos talked. So check all that stuff out, man. So, you know to follow us on Twitter, man. You know to follow me on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, Twitter and Instagram. Follow JR Bang at JR Bang on Twitter and IG. Follow the Barbers Chair Network at Barbers Chair Net. Follow this great podcast at 79th and Hallis, and that's with AND. Hallis, subscribe to Patreon, man. Patreon.com/Barbers Chair Network. You can get all our post game videos. We might have some exclusive content for y'all these next 2 weeks since we're going to be on the road. Both me and Flo's will be in Atlanta, Georgia this weekend. Bang, you was just there last week. You know, you had your epic story. If you want to hear, you check out last week's summer session. I will be there this weekend, my first time in 10 years back in the A. And then I will be in New York next weekend for the Jets game. Pat Vito will be my cameraman, so he's going to be out there with me at MetLife. Man, what's your initial thoughts from you know, watching at the crib and, you know, everything you're feeling after this game?
I don't like losing to Detroit. Like, that's the biggest thing. I don't like losing to Detroit. It's the Detroit Lions. We should defeat the Detroit Lions. We had them beat. We was up 2 touchdowns. I think that defensively, we got to have a conversation. Like, we really, truly need to sit down and have a conversation. I was watching the game with my father, and when they started having penalties in the drive that really started to come back for the Lions, I said to myself, yeah, this is probably going to be a drive that puts them back in the game. And it just seems like, to me, the defense really starts to unravel and get out of focus from time to time. Now, let's be clear. Some of the penalties were not penalties. That hands to the face penalty was not hands to the face. But at the same time, you got to focus up, basically, and really, Eddie Jackson, as the captain of the defense, so to speak, has to get his defense to focus up, because this is now what? 4 weeks in a row where we've seen some good play from Justin and some pretty bad play from the defense. Yeah. And really, all they got to do is hold at this point. We're at this point where we have an offense and a quarterback that all you have to do is hold. They're not doing that. And Justin threw an interception and then come right back and got his lick back.
Yep.
And the defense still couldn't hold. So I don't know if it's the players. I don't know if it's Allen Williams. The middle of the field seems easy and open for everybody to get down with. I've seen Nicholas Morrow and Jack Sanborn cover slot receivers way too much for these last couple of weeks. At the same time, though, it don't help when we don't really upgrade our personnel and we're prepping for 2024.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, man. To me, it was a whole bunch of things that I took from this game. Before I give my actual thoughts on the game, I don't want to take like a victory lap or nothing because the team lost, but I want to say I told y'all so. So, you know, this is the thing that, you know, Bang has told me, shout out my homie Shakia Taylor. She's told me that the more I personally get into this media game, the more this 79th and Hallis and Barbara Chernobyl's general grows, it's going to be a lot more idiots in the mentions, a lot more idiots in the comments. And
wow,
a couple days ago, I said that the Bears shouldn't take this team lightly. I said it's a high possibility of that the Bears could lose this football game. I said the Detroit Lions are a team that plays hard. You can say what you want to say about their record. Dan Campbell has his team ready to play each and every weekend. It's coming off a big home win over the Green Bay Packers. And they can lose this game. And, boy, I was called every idiot in the book. I was called a killjoy. I was called – somebody said I need to, get your head out your ass. I was just everything. And I just want to tell y'all, I told you so. Like, I told you so. Shout out my man Wash, shout out my man Big Wash. He has a quote that I believe. Life is about being right. And I was right. I told you that this is a high possibility this happened because, yes, I know the Bears' offense has been putting up numbers the last couple weeks, and it put up numbers today. But this defense has got awful. And it's the same thing with the Detroit Lions. I said this was going to be a high-scoring football game. Now, I did pick the Bears to win this. I thought they were going to win by 10, and it looked like they were going to. They were up 14.
They should have.
You know what I'm saying? They were up 14 in the end of the third quarter. So there was a lot of things that were troubling from this loss. And it's a thing about – and it's just really not just this fan base. It's football fans in general. You know, we just saw the pick that Josh Allen threw today through two – you know, had two turnovers today. Now, everybody's like, so we just going to ignore these type of turnovers the last two games. This is the kind of stuff that happens when you have a franchise quarterback, especially a young franchise quarterback, the ups and the downs that come. Yeah, Justin threw a terrible pick six that was just not warranted. But what'd he do? He went and got his lick back on the same dude who picked him off. So he went and got it back. But it's like the things that we see from this defense is it's just not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it whatsoever. And like you saying, Bang, it's a mix of things. It's a mix of the personnel with, you know, you not having guys who are going to be on this team next year. Let's just keep it real. You know, the secondary, like every – I think they maybe stopped the Lions on two third downs all afternoon.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I do want to make sure we spotlight some positives.
Okay.
Jack Sanborn was an interception away from winning Defensive Player of the Week.
And right? That was a terrible flag.
Terrible flag. Like, there are some spots where it's like, okay. But I want to be specific in my displeasure with Lee Irpose.
Okay, go ahead.
And here's
– who was in the locker room after the game talking to Justin. I'm going to give you my theory on that in a second.
Oh, I really would like to because the Bears fan in me has a really glass half empty thought.
Okay.
To 45 minutes in the locker room.
Okay.
I don't want to think what I'm thinking. However, Jack Sanborn is an interception away from winning Defensive Player of the Week because he already has two sacks in the game. And then he gets that interception. He's in the running for Defensive Player of the Week. All right. Eddie and Kyler, I think, had good games, right? Jalen Johnson was getting ate up in the middle of the field. That defensive line
might have been Jalen's worst game of his career.
And that front seven is terrible. I've not seen a front seven this bad for the Chicago Bears in quite some time. This whole thing about us losing, the only thought that I had about us losing was Brightside hey, man, we got a defensive tackle from Georgia that might fit in this defense. That would be great and would upgrade them as soon as he steps on the field. But what I think about is, damn, if the like looking at Justin and his progress, it feels like to me that if he put just a little bit of effort into upgrading this team, not saying that he had to spend a whole bunch of money, not saying that he had to go find somebody.
I'm talking about polls, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about polls. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that he would have to keep some of these people that we've traded away. But imagine this Justin with the defense that we had just last year. That's what I think Bears fans see, and I don't mind them for seeing that and saying that when you have a defense that have been so poor in these last couple of weeks, giving up 30-plus games, including the 49 or 50-point game against Dallas.
I have a counterpoint for that. Before I use, I just want to give a shout out to the chat room, like we always do. Shout out to Debbie. Debbie Harmon said, defense so trash. We have not won with conservative play call, and we were up six. I knew the Santos was going to be a problem. Yeah, I want to comment on that too. I had a problem with that. Dilly ISO 7 says, defense put up some resistance. Defense put up the same resistance as Magic Johnson's white blood cells. Wow. Okay. The real Jaleel, nah, Scott, talk your shit, man. You've been right on point. Yeah, look, you're right. I do. I be right. I be trying to tell you I'll be right. And it's okay that I be right. And it's, you know, I try to tell y'all, you know, my brother is nicer with y'all, but I'm not. And it's just you just gonna have to deal with it. My whole phrase for this week, if you watch this week, I'm not gonna hold you, is double down. I'm doubling down on everything I say. But so here's my counterpoint to what you just said, man. While I feel you on the defense thing, a lot of the defense guys were old or couldn't stay healthy. I bet you don't even know that Akeem Hicks is in the league right now. That's low of an impact he's had. You know,
he's on the injury list, right? He's still on the injury list.
My point exactly. Yeah. Khalil Mack, he's had a couple bright things, but it's pretty much been a Khalil Mack in the Khalil Mack that the Chargers have right now. It's pretty much Khalil Mack we've had the last 2-3 years. Like, it's not 2018. Like, 2018, he was jumping off the page. And the Bears had so many holes and not enough draft capital because of that enemy of the state, which is Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. And if you watch Matt, and if you watch anything from Justin Fields and Cole Kmet, you know that Matt Nagy should be on 24-hour lockdown just off what we've been seeing from them too, and wait, how he was using them last year. So there was so many. The Bears had no draft capital, so they had to build that up. So I get why that, you know, why a lot of Bears was like, we could have kept them, but you still need to get these draft picks back for next year. And to me, the thing where it was a multitude of things that lost this game. It was the defense. It was the officiating was just god awful.
Terrible.
Like, it was terrible. It was, you know, and it was back to back. Remember last week? That was bad plays. And we're gonna get the little 2-minute warning thing that we got last week. Oh, we missed this play, and that doesn't matter because there was a couple pass interference that were ridiculous. The thing that really changed momentum to me, and I knew this was gonna happen. Remember when Jared Goff ran for like a first down and then like they slightly pushed him out of bounds and they called
that changed unnecessary roughness.
That changed the entire game.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one.
That changed the whole game. And it was a ticky-tack call. The Sanborn interception, ticky-tack call on Jalen Johnson. Having said that, you still got to go out there and win the game. You had a stop. I think they were like at their own 30. And Justin Jones brought down Jamal Williams. You had a nice third down, and you gave up like a 30-yard play. You can't do things. And I saw that when they brought in the linebackers. Look, they were going blitz, and the only dude in the backfield was Eddie Jackson.
Yep.
And that's why the better Brown, St. Amara, was able to get all the way over there and get into the Bears' territory. And the other thing, too, is you got to play towards that. But I'm glad that Debbie brought this up because on that last drive, and there was two things on the last couple drives, when they were up six after the Cairo Santos miss, way too conservative. And then on the last drive, which really just made me and my brother upset, you're moving Justin out the pocket the entire game, but now you want him to stay in the pocket for this drive? It made no sense. It made no sense. Change of philosophy last minute. And I think you've seen two things that, despite how good the offense is doing, is going to be a stain. Number one, Tevin Jenkins was not out there. That offensive line looked terrible without him. They've looked actually respectable the last 2 weeks because Tevin Jenkins has been playing well. With no Tevin Jenkins, every time that Justin would try to, you know, throw a pass, the pocket was collapsing. So that was a big issue. But on that last drive, no wide receivers were getting separation. And that goes back to one of the main problems with this team that, unfortunately, the Bears is going to have to ride this out for the next 8 weeks. And those things aren't going to get solved right away.
Hey, you know what? I ain't mad about that. I mean, look, when I step back, I look and I say, hey, we got Green Bay and we got Detroit that holds the tiebreaker against us. We're 3-7. Detroit is what, 3-7, I think now? Or, yeah, like, no, 3-6. Green Bay looks like they're going to lose to Dallas. So I'm going to celebrate that loss right there, and then we're going to have the same record. That being said, we have gained the draft position, and I look at people like if a Will Anderson or Carter from Georgia drops to a spot where the Bears could get them, that upgrades that defensive line tremendously. And that's what we got to start looking at. And I agree with everything that you said about Khalil and Robert and Roquan getting traded and we needing the draft capital. As I was just saying, is basically when you see that and you see things given away with now your quarterback having historic games, damn, you wish you just had somebody that was better than what you have right now. And even if you trade those people, you went and got cast-offs, and now fans see Justin Fields doing all of these things with a defense that's pretty much led by now Eddie Johnson and a whole bunch of cast-offs, which means now you switch things on the offensive side, but now you're looking at the defensive side crazy.
Yeah, and Eddie, I think, you know, it's two things that stood out from Eddie to me that, you know, Eddie was here when Mitchell Trubisky was there, so he knows what it's like to be a dominant defense. Your offense can't get it going. So on Wednesday, he said something that was very important to me. He was like, well, you know, he said, the offense is doing their job. Justin's killing it. We need to go out there and do our job. And so he knows that, okay, the shoe is on the other foot now. And then after the game, when, you know, we spoke to him in the locker room, he was very adamant. He said, look, we can't keep doing. He really said the same. Remember, just said he was tired of losing despite the progress. Eddie's like, yo, I'm tired of the same thing happening. He said, look, we had a great week of practice. Everything went well. We had them down 24-10. We had them right where we want them, and we just can't close. I'm tired of all this. He said, Justin's out there. Justin's balling, and we can't keep leaving them out there. We have to go out there and do our part. And he said, even me saying this right now isn't going to change anything. So he was pretty upset. And as the pretty much the leader of the defense now that Khalil's gone, now that Quinn's gone, now that Roquan's gone, this is Eddie's defense. He is the longest tenured Bear right now on the team.
Now go ahead.
No, it's on the team. He's been here since 2017. He's been here since Mike Glennon. So he's been here since John Fox. That's how long that Eddie Jackson. I think Eddie Jackson is going to be a Bears lifer. Now, I said Poles, your boy Leo Poles was in the locker room. Now, here is my theory. Me and my brother were laughing about this as we were leaving the stadium.
Let's go.
My theory is this, that Justin was telling him, yo, some of these niggas got to go. Some of these niggas got to go. Because they had a little conversation in the locker room, and all I saw was Poles nod and walk off.
I'm with you, and I go a little bit harder and say, some of these niggas gotta go, or when it's time for me to go, I'm going.
Yeah,
like I don't want to scare Bears fans. I don't want to scare Bears fans, but I'm gonna scare you today. Here's why I'm gonna scare you. Because if we listen to the national media, you're just going to take this perspective. Listen to the national media. This team spent weeks trying to see if Justin Fields is the one. He's proven that he's the one. Now, Justin has to look at that front office this summer to for them to prove to him that you're going to do what's necessary to put the things around me to show you how good I can be. Again, Bears and historic performers at the quarterback position has never been said. Those words have never been said in our lifetime and in your parents' lifetime. Maybe your great-grandparents' lifetime, because the last time we heard that shit was in the 40s with Sid Luckman. But now I believe the Bears put themselves in a nasty position. Why? Because you just spent weeks trying to see if dude is on point. Now dude is killing. Now he going to hold your ass to the fire and make sure that you get everything that you need to he needs to make himself successful. And this is why I continue to say that this is the most important offseason in Chicago Bears history. This is why I don't care about any loss right now. I don't care about none of that shit. All I care about is $130 million and all those draft picks. Because if we fail, we are in the ghetto for a long time to come. But if we hit, we are in the penthouse for a long time to come because we clearly have somebody who can be a top five quarterback. And Poles can't waste this shit.
I'm going to agree and I'm going to disagree. I think you give some good points. You're the second person who told me about, you know, the potential of Justin. I won't say leaving because, one, in the NFL, you don't really see franchise quarterbacks leave. Like, when they do, it's later in their career and when they fall off majority of the time. Like, I really can't think of a quarterback who left the team that was on in their prime. I can't think of who didn't have any allegations like Deshaun.
That boy ain't in his prime yet.
That's my point.
That's the crazy thing.
This is why I agree, and I agree. I 100% agree. This is the most important Bears offseason in team history by far. This is kind of the same thing that happened in 2018, where Mitch showed enough to where they're thinking if we can surround him with pieces, then maybe he'll grow. Now, obviously, Justin has shown us way more in just these last 5 weeks than Mitch showed us in 4 years, by far. But I think, I gotta give Pace a little credit for this. He went out there and got Khalil Mack. He went out there and got Allen Robinson. He went out there and got Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel. Remember, he built pieces, and the Bears went 12-4, won division. Should have went to at least the NFC divisional round. And like I said that week, and I'm saying this time, that game was not Mr. Trubisky's fault. Won that game. He got him in position to win the game. That I blame that game on Santos and Matt Nagy. Remember, Matt Nagy forgot.
But not Santos.
Not Santos. Parkey. Parkey. Matt Nagy forgot that he had Allen Robinson until late in the third quarter. So, yeah, so with this, it's the same thing, but I feel like they do have to, like, make a big improvement. But the reason I won't say they'll be in the ghetto is because look at the NFC North, man. Like,
bruh.
Aaron's not going to be here. I'm not worried about Detroit. Minnesota, I'm just not worried about going ahead to have Kirk Cousins. So I don't know if they'll be in the ghetto, but they definitely have to execute this season. They have to hit. But I'm not necessarily worried about Justin because they can tag him three times.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And here's the thing. Just because you say I want to go, that don't mean they got to let you go. Mm-hmm. But you don't need that. Pressure. You don't need that vibe inside of Hallis Hall. The second part of what you said is, I agree with you. I'm not saying nothing you said was wrong, but I do look at teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars. I do look at teams like the Baltimore Ravens, who, while they compete every year, they let you down every year as well.
So here's a question for you. Let's just put yourself in a Baltimore Raven fan shoe real quick. Are you nervous about Lamar Jackson leaving?
I am, let's just say, I'm not necessarily nervous about Lamar Jackson leaving because of franchise modes. Boom. We go ahead and keep you. You get 2 years, you straight.
Yeah.
What I'm scared of is the pieces you put around him to make him successful. Like, you look at Lamar Jackson, and while it is hard for a top flight wide receiver to go to Baltimore because of the offense they run, you also look and say, damn, and you said this, so I'll give you credit with yelling at me about Lamar Jackson, you know, when we had the debate on summer sessions. You got to look at him and say, hey, man, we need you to be better than what you are right now.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot. Because
he's great.
You're good. However, we need you to be a top 10 quarterback, not a top 10 athlete.
Bro, that's all I'm saying.
Right. And we need Greg Roman and John Harbaugh on the team to give us an offense that's suitable for your skills and the skills of a top flight wide receiver. Because we can't count on Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely to be your top wide receivers, basically.
And that's Bill. That was my problem. And we're gonna. And I know this is gonna sound like we're talking about the rating, but this kind of has the same point to me because
it's the same point. With
it's the same point because like Justin is a great athlete too, but the difference is Justin. To me, Justin's better throw the football than Lamar Jackson. I don't even think it's close. Like if you're for me observing, for people who think I hate Lamar Jackson, which I don't. I'm a Lamar Jackson fan. I'm just telling you what I see. I don't think he makes the throws consistently enough. But it's also on the front office. First of all, Greg Roman gets away with murder. And the problem I had with the Roquan Smith trade from their perspective is they should have been the ones trying to get a wide receiver. You don't need any more defense. You need a wide receiver for this man. Like, and the fact they've been able to do this with the caliber of guys he has around him says a lot. But at the same time, you need more for Lamar. So it's like, yeah, from a Bears perspective, they have to knock it out the park. And yeah, I can't sit up here and say, Will, we don't know yet. But I'm with you. You don't want to put that pressure. But I feel like that's also the nature of the NFL right now. Yeah, and that's because of the Deshaun Watson deal messed up the market.
And I'm glad that you said that. You don't want to be the Texans with Deshaun Watson, with massages or not. Because you can say that Deshaun Watson didn't have a lot around him either when he was with, like, before he started, you know, the allegation started. Yeah. You don't want to be Kyler Murray with the Arizona Cardinals.
Overpaid.
Like, you don't want to put yourself in a position when it's time to pay him to handcuff the team when the team hasn't improved in areas that they should improve. When you have the money and the draft picks that you have. Yeah. So while you have a top flight quarterback, and for Bears fans, this is something that we've never seen in our lifetime, you also don't want to see a top flight quarterback
leave.
And then, no, not even leave. You don't want to see him and then he's 11 and 6 one year.
Yeah.
And then 6-11 the next year because of the pieces that you have around him. You don't want to have a quarterback that – you don't want to have a team that catches lightning in a bottle and then they're all of a sudden back to the cellar because of who they have on their team. So you don't want to – basically, you can't waste this talent. And for a Bears franchise who's been starving for a quarterback our entire lives – you're 35, I'm 40. We ain't never seen this before. This is nothing we've never came across. We've set all of our lives, and we had to deal with Mike Tomczak, Jim Harbaugh, who was decent, but did give you quarterbacks like Shane Matthews, Will Fuhrer, Peter Tom Willis, Steve Stenstrom, Rex Grossman, Jim Miller, Cal Orton, Caleb Haney, Jay Cutler. All of these people, and some of the people that I named, that was the streak that was talented, extremely talented. You can't waste this right here, because tomorrow when we turn on ESPN, we turn on Get Up, they're gonna be talking about, oh man, the Bears lost, but shit, look at this talent that they got in Justin Fields.
That pick, nobody will be talking about that tomorrow.
No, nobody's gonna be talking. Or they're gonna say, oh,
look how he responded from the pick six.
But look how he responded by breaking his record.
Like now, I'm gonna piggyback off what you're saying. This is what the media angle is gonna be now, because Justin Fields is becoming a media darling, and the people start to love him. So now it's gonna go from this is the next conversation. Are the Bears doing enough to made Justin Fields, but that's the next part of the level of progress with a franchise quarterback. And you saw this with Tom Brady. Are they doing enough to help Tom Brady? It's going to be like that. So there's tremendous amount of pressure on Ryan Pace this year. Not Ryan Pace, Ryan Poles this year.
Leor Poles. You got to sign a whole bunch of 360 deals, G.
A whole bunch of 360 deals. You got to spend the money and spend it correctly. 100%, man. And I was a couple fans saying, well, Justin didn't show confidence on that last drive. I was like, dude, there's nobody open. And then somebody, well, you got to throw to somebody open. Did you? I'm like, first of all, I got to stop arguing with people who got like two followers. So
you do.
I gotta stop doing that. But I got a couple more questions now.
You are at 500 Twitter followers or less level.
You to are argue correct.
You are correct. If they got 499 or less, Scott, don't talk to them.
Or they are followed by nobody who follows us.
Yes, or they have eagles in their photo.
or Smokey the Bear and stuff like that. Yeah. But so here's a question, because I was talking about this in the press box when we was watching the game. Are you concerned two games in about how they're using Chase Claypool? Because last week it was two catches, 13 yards, but they attempted. I think he had like five targets, but he dropped like a couple of them. This week, he only had two attempts. One, Justin almost threw a pick. The second one was off a screen pass. And he told us that, you know, he's not worried about it. He feels like his knowledge of the offense getting better. He said this week he feels he was an 8 out of 10. He said next week it'll be a 10 out of 10. And he said there's no need to force the chemistry between him and Justin. I believe that they should at least thrown it to him more. Yeah. And I personally had an issue with the way they used him this week. Last week was fine. But I expect, especially with you not activating N'Keal Harry, and we'll get to that. I want your opinion on that in a minute. Because I asked Luce a question. He kind of like, I want to say he kind of looked at me like, nigga, like, you know why they didn't play. But I thought with sitting N'Keal Harry that we were going to get a lot more Chase Claypool. And I personally had an issue with how to use them today. What's your opinion on that?
So I was under the thought of game three of him in the Bears uniform, that's when business is going to pick up. When Harry was a healthy scratch, I said to myself, okay, business is going to pick up. But I still had a little bit of doubt. That's why in my parlay this week, I took him like catching over 20 yards passing. Not many, but I was still like, I don't think this is the game. So I still give him three. But at the same time, it's still like his usage hasn't kicked up even a tad bit. So I look at the offense and sometimes I think to myself, they think too much.
100%. 100%.
I think Getsy and company thinks too much.
But Getsy's also a rookie play call too. That's why I've been telling people all year. I think the leeway that we give Justin, we got to do the same thing with Getsy.
Yeah. And I think sometimes Getsy thinks too much, because it was my father, and I have to credit my father, who sometimes say some outlandish shit. But my father was like, man, sometimes you just got to throw a nigga a jump ball.
I agree with your father, though. Sometimes that's what I was saying in the book.
Like, if he's 6 foot 230,
throw it up.
Sometimes you just got to throw it up and see what happens.
You got to do the Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp down there somewhere.
Hit him with a Taylor Heineke. Just throw that ball up, close your eyes, throw it up and see
Heineke
what happens.
Like Scary Terry down there somewhere.
Right. And if Chase Claypool is 6'4", 240, runs a 440, can jump, sometimes you just got to be like, yo, straight line, I got you. And that's when I think sometimes they think too much. And that hinders players like Chase Claypool. So I kind of look at Chase Claypool the same way that they did Justin. And I look at game three in Atlanta to be the breakout game. But I do have questions, like, because I'm not around Hallis Hall or anything like that. It was interesting to see Harry being a healthy scratch along with Velvis Jones. And I look at that and I say, man, and I even said last week, if we got two able big bodies with Mooney in the slot, this is a great day. And now you have Cole Kmet, who is now really showing the promise that a lot of people was predicting at the beginning of the season. It helps out a lot. So why the hell he ain't played?
Now, I'm trying to find a quote. I asked Fluce today about Velus. And one thing I love about Fluce, man, he gets straight to the point, man.
He does.
So, hold on. I'm trying to look for it right here. All right. So, I asked, you know, what went to the decision of having Velus Jones and N'Keal Harry being a healthy scratch. And he said, we thought it was the best five receivers for us. And then we're just going off the best five receivers and who we saw in practice. And he looked at me like, them niggas stink, pretty much. But pretty much what I got from that answer is that they're not having good practices. And especially Vilas. And I don't know if you saw what he said about Vilas earlier this week. Basically saying he got to see a lot more from Vilas. And when we're talking about what Poles needs to execute, that's a mark on Poles' resume, because Vilas is a third rounder. You need much more from him. Now, not that anybody had high expectations for this man, because I didn't even know who he was when the Bears drafted him. But the fact that he can't even get on the field as a healthy scratch is a little concerning to me. And I feel like the N'Keal Harry thing, two things I thought personally before the game was, okay, we're going to get more of a heavy Chase Claypool load, and Byron Pringle just came off IR, and Byron Pringle was faster than N'Keal Harry. That's the only thing I took from it before the game.
Okay. Yeah, it's still confusing.
Yeah.
Like, I think you need all the bodies you could get, and you either need separation or somebody who could get a jump ball. So again, as my father Lee A. Davis Sr. has said, sometimes you gotta throw a nigga jump ball. And that's not happening at all. It's like, that's not happening at all. But at the same time, we see some improvements on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, maybe it is a, hey man, you got to put the work in and see what happens. Maybe Harry is looking at Chase Claypool and saying, well, that was supposed to be me, and, you know, didn't show up. I don't know. But I'm looking at Justin. I'm saying Justin still needs all of the weapons that he could get. So, and if that weapon is a revolver, you know what I'm saying, and Justin wants a 9mm, then, you know, let's figure it out. And I probably shouldn't use a gun reference considering what's happened to my family in the last couple. But at the same time, I mean, it is true. Like, fam, why are we still dealing with stuff like this, man? If Velvis Jones is not great in the passing game, utilize him
returning the same way.
Like, return. Well, nah, I don't want his ass back there either.
He fumbled. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, drop one of those screens, man. No, give him the same shit you give a Chase Claypool running the ball out the backfield. No, use him like Debo a little bit sometimes. If he's that fast, man, give him the ball coming out the backfield too. Hit him around, hit them, you know, them tosses and see what happens.
I really think he's doing something with practice. I think he's doing something with practice.
Like, or he's not doing something.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he's got to be showing some flags. And I'll be back in Hallis this week, so I'll be interested to see, you know, what's that looking like, man. But one positive note, you know, as we get ready to close this episode, I want to talk about Cole Kmet, man. I called this man sorry the day we drafted him.
You did.
I was like, this dude is sorry. And it's like the last 3 weeks, it's like since, and by the way, I thought he's played good all year. This isn't just a month. I thought he's been good all year, especially he's been good blocking too. But he went from having his first touchdown in 2 years in Dallas. So now this man got like 5 touchdowns in the last 3 games, and he's becoming one of Justin's favorite targets. And he's actually looking like a high draft pick. And Justin brought it up in his post game. He said, yeah, he's just getting beat better every week, and our chemistry is starting to really get together. What do you think about from what you've seen from Cole Kmet?
Hey, man, shouts out to my man Sean Davis, who does a lot of Notre Dame work.
SD2 Mics on Twitter.
How many times we seen a terrible Notre Dame tight end? Like, we rarely see tight end. University is Iowa and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So I knew something was there, and I thought Mitch would be his blanket, but Justin is using him as his blanket. And I don't, like, people was talking about, you know, Kelsey throwing comparisons like Kelsey and Kittle and all of those things. No, I don't want to do that.
They're just big. They're only 3 they got in common.
Right, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, man, he is somebody that if you need 10, he's going to get you 10. And you see him running harder and you see him going after it. Like, you know, the touchdown that he caught, the touchdowns that he has caught. But it was one play where he just got a first down today off of his sheer hard work, putting his shoulders down and blowing through the tackle. You have that. And even as I said a couple of weeks ago, once you got Claypool, or if you get anybody, it opens it up for two people, and it opens it up for Mooney, and it opens it up for Kmet. So I think we're going to see a bit more from him. I'm excited to see the future between him and Justin. And as soon as we either get Chase Claypool to be a good number two to whoever is our number one, or if we just get some improvements at the X position in general with the wide receiver position, it's going to be interesting to see how this offense look. Because you have the threat of Justin running. So play action is always going to be an option for you. We get somebody that can scare you on that X, it's just going to open it up for somebody in the slot or a tight end position. And it, we're not going to – I don't think we're going to see a wide receiver on the Bears get 80, 90 catches for 1,500 yards. We're not going to see a Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle. I don't even think we're going to see a Bengals type of situation. But what I do believe is that you're going to get people that you need to get people that scares cornerbacks enough where they have to think long and hard when Justin get out there. And that's already going to make a linebacker scared when he has to go guard somebody like Kmet. Because when that happens, Justin, his eyes is going to open up bigger. Yeah. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think we do have a top five quarterback on our hands. I think when it's all said and done, Justin is going to be a top five quarterback for the majority of his career with the Bears. It's just with the options that you give him. And you already have two in Mooney and Kmet. And Kmet is going to be the person that gives you the touchdown. He's going to be a touchdown.
Three with Claypool,
guy.
Man. Three with Claypool.
I mean, I'm going to reserve.
You're going to reserve judgment with Claypool?
I'm going to reserve judgment.
But you have more faith in Mooney than Chase Claypool right now.
No, I only have more faith in Mooney. Because at the end of the day, you're going to respect Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool now has to show why you need to respect him.
Okay, that's fair. That's
because
fair.
Mooney and Kmet is going to benefit by having a talented wide receiver. But now he has to bring that talent out. And I think Atlanta is the game that is going to happen.
This is a thing, too. And I think Cole Kmet is very important in the thing you just said because – think about Justin. I've learned about Justin from being around him. He's a guy where, like, he really clicks up with people who he likes on a personal level. And I'm not saying he don't like Chase Claypool, but I don't think they have enough time. They have to build chemistry because Darnell Mooney is at Justin's house all the time. You know, Cole Kmet is with Justin all the time. You know, me and my brother, we found a clip from last year's Monday Night Football game in Pittsburgh that we went to. Remember that drive? It looked like the Bears were going to win.
Yeah.
And Cole Kmet, they lost. And Cole was walking off. He said, Judge, like, yo, we almost got it, man. We just got to keep building. So he has these relationships with these two. And I think Cole Kmet would be important because Chase Claypool is his college teammate. Yep. So he can bring him into the fold. That's something I think they'll get more bonding during OTAs and training camp when they have more time to build that camaraderie. But one thing I did peep from when we talked to Chase, that I didn't peep any frustration. I didn't peep any type of anger. He was just like, oh, I'm still learning. And he just said what you said. Like, Atlanta, you think Atlanta's going to be the game. And this Atlanta game is going to be important to me for a couple reasons. One, the Falcons, they just came off a ridiculous loss to the Panthers. Like, they should be ashamed of themselves for that loss. This is going to be a Bears home game. Let's be very clear about this. You used to live in Atlanta. You know how many Chicago folks is in Atlanta. Not only how many Chicago folks is in Atlanta, how many Chicago folks are taking the trip. Justin Fields is from Kennesaw, Georgia. That is 35 minutes outside of Atlanta. This is a home game for him. How many family members? And I think that's going to be a big part of this week. I plan on asking Justin on Wednesday is, you know, how it's going to be. It's pretty much a homecoming game for him. I'm not worried. The offense, I feel, is going to have a great game. I'm worried about what this defense is going to do with Cordell Patterson, with Drake London and with Kyle Pitts. That's what I'm worried about.
Yes.
So the defense eventually, I know there's only so much they can do, but eventually they gotta stand up. What's that video? Oh, Shorty, stand up. That's what they gotta do. Stand up.
This game right here, I think is the and I don't want to use these terms, but I have to because I think this is so important for the Bears going forward. This is probably one of the most important games defensively for the Bears in quite some time because even when the Bears sucked, our defense was respectable.
Outside of 2013, and I think this defense is worse than Mel Tucker's. I don't think Mel Tucker's scheme was bad. We had a whole bunch of aging players.
Right, and that's why I don't – and that's why I kind of don't count that year, but
yeah.
But you still had names. So you had to, at the end of the day, you had to, right. At the end of the day, you had to respect those players. You still probably whoop their ass, but hey, man, you my man. I respect you. I think we are reaching a point that nobody respects this Bears defense.
And I think you saw that fourth down.
Yeah.
That team's going on fourth down on these dudes. They do not care.
Yeah, there's no respect there for this defense at all. Now, you go into Atlanta, who has weapons, and let's not forget, I don't know if you mentioned, you did mention Cordell Patterson, but they have other running backs that are decent.
Yep.
So they can do the same shit that the Bears can do to you with a better defense because they do have, I mean, they might not be, you know, stopping people with some type of clip. But I'd rather have Atlanta's defense right now than the Bears, who's being 100%. Leaky right now.
100%.
And if Eddie Jackson is that pissed off, and I believe that he is, all this week he has to drill it into him. He also has to drill into playing mistake-free football, not just what you do against a player, but what you do when it comes to penalties, because it should be nowhere in hell that the Bears should be penalized.
Bro, I'm glad because the hits principle is like you can't play. You got to play clean football. There was at least four drives that were killed with those penalties. And I like what you said about Eddie Jackson, because I really feel like Eddie and Justin are in sync. I'm going to give y'all more exclusive. Eddie and Justin had a little combo. They had a little combo when Eddie was getting ready to leave. It had a little combo. These two were in sync. And it wasn't one of those things where Justin was mad and nobody was talking to him. There was multiple guys coming up to Justin. So Justin is the clear leader of this team. I think there's not a doubt that even a guy like Eddie, as tenured as Eddie is, he's been in the league 4 years longer than Justin. He knows what time it is. But they had a conversation that's basically like, yo, we got to make sure this team is ready for this week. And I feel like it's a reason where Justin's upset because he knows he's getting better, but he's not used to losing. When he went like 2 years at Ohio State and didn't lose a game, like he's not used to this type of stuff. So it has to go from, yes, Justin, the offense is showing progression. You still got to build a winning culture.
Yep.
You still got to win these games. Now, I did like what Flew said in post game. He said, yeah, we losing, but we learning how to deal with adversity. And by the way, I have no problems with Flew's, by the way. I think Flew's is doing a really good job.
Yes, he is.
Considering the amount of talent that he has. But now it's getting to the point where a game like today, despite draft positioning, and I know in April we're not going to care about this because we're going to have a higher draft pick. But as of right now, you can't lose games like this. And next week is another game. You need to beat Atlanta. The week after, the Jets game don't look like a gimme like we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, because that defense,
Sauce Gardner, if we think the wide receiver's having trouble getting open right now, look at his numbers against the elite this year. Yeah, there's been nobody scoring on him. So you got them. They got a really good running game. Now, Zach Wilson can't be had, but with the amount of pressure that this defense gives, Zach Wilson going to have all day in the pocket to throw the ball.
Yeah.
This is a team that is now officially the AFC East is now up for grabs with the Bills lost today. The Dolphins won. They're in first place. The Jets beat the Bills last week, so they're in second. The Bills are in third place now. So now The Jets are not only playing for the playoff spot, they playing for the AFC East. Yep. So I'm not expecting next week to be an easy game whatsoever. You don't want to go into this and you done lost 8 out of 9. You know what I'm saying? That will take a toll on you. You need to start winning these games. I don't really care about the things about the draft positioning because it's about building the culture. And I feel like they got to win next week. You got to win in Atlanta next week, in my opinion.
And being that, you know, Justin is from there, I know I'm going to get calls all week from people that I work with that's like, yo, hey, man, this is going to be important for that kid. I expect another big game from Justin in that stadium in his hometown. it is up to the Bears defense to prove that they can hold it down, so to speak.
Yeah.
And if they don't, I don't think Eddie wants to have another conversation with Justin.
Yeah.
After this game.
Cause like somebody said, yeah, Justin told Pose SQ order 66. He will get Palpatine on y'all.
Yeah, he will.
Like, let's be very clear who runs this ship now. Okay.
No. Like, but
what's T'Challa tell Buddy in Black Panther? I am your king now.
Yeah. but nah, man, Jack Sanborn, hey, he looks good, man.
He looks good.
Like I gotta give him his respect. He looks good.
He looks good. I don't know if he's a starter.
I don't know, he's a good depth piece. He's a good depth piece, and the thing is, it was a couple of plays, not even the sacks, but it was a couple of plays that I was like, yo, he gets some reps in. He can be a consistent starter. That's how I put it. I wouldn't necessarily call him a star, but he could definitely be one of those people who is a consistent starter for you. You got him, you got Gordon, you got Brisker.
I really like what Eddie Jones has done this year. I like what I've seen from
Justin. We just need another Carter.
Yeah, Carter. Georgia. I like Carter from Georgia.
Carter from Georgia.
I was against them going defense number one, but I'm not anymore.
I'm not whatsoever angry about that. We're gonna be okay. But yeah, it's definitely about to be show and prove time for the rest of the year with only three games. And when you look at it, we've been in every game we've played.
And that's what Darnell Mooney said outside of the Green Bay game, he felt like they could have won every game. And so that's like a positive thing, but you got to learn how to close. That's the one thing that this team has got to learn. And two things before we wrap up. One, I wanted to say that, one thing about this team that, you know, that I'm seeing is, you know, it's starting to be a little bit of camaraderie, at least with the offense. We're starting to see that come around. But it's really just about, you know, figuring out who's going to be here, who's not going to be here long term. That's what's going to come down to. And it's just like this. I'm going to compare this Justin Fields thing to like when you get a girlfriend, right? You get a girlfriend, you originally bag her. Everything's good. But what a woman always say, you got to keep them. You know what I'm saying? Just because you get it don't mean you stop taking out on dates. So Ryan
damn,
Poland,
Dallas.
They lost.
God damn it.
Dallas lost.
Oh, they're about to.
Hey, you can't count on Dallas. Now, I had a feeling that was going to happen. Were they up big or no?
It was up enough, man.
Dallas Cowboys. Can't count on them for nothing. But, yeah, and so also – you know, Pose, you got to spend money on your girl now. That's really what this comes down to. You got to keep her. You got to keep her happy. And then that's what you got to do this offseason, man. So that's pretty much all we got. If it was anything you wanted to say before we get up out of here, man.
Hey, man, enjoy this. I just want to say this to Bears fans. When you I know you're upset that we lost the game, that we should have won and all of this. But the one thing that I would say right now is enjoy what you're seeing from Justin Fields and just get ready for next year. I think next year we have potential. And I just want us to enjoy things more and stop complaining or just make it less. And understand the future is very bright here in Chicago.
The national media is starting to notice. Rich Eisen said himself, he said, name an up and coming team that you'd rather be more than Chicago with a franchise quarterback, $130 million in cap space and 9 draft picks. Even Chris Long, Howie Long was like, I'm rooting for them. Like, so now it's time to perform, people. So I'm with you, man. Bears fans, we're a special bunch, but you know. I try to tell y'all. That's all I'm going to say. But y'all know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershop Scott at J.R. Bang. Follow us while you can before Elon burns the ship. Follow Barbershop Net on Twitter and IG. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershop Network, man. We'll be back. We'll be in the A this week, man. I'm going to try to get y'all a preview pod this week. You know, me and Pierce did one this past week, so check it out. Yeah, man. So a lot of traveling going on next couple weeks, man. So you know, get in tune with us. We'll holler at y'all next week. We out. 7 nights in hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news.